We are taking ownership of our narrative, leading the conversation, enlightening our listeners. Africa Business Radio. Towards a profitable Africa.
Welcome to The Lion Show. And unfortunately, this is our final show for 2018. So I really hope that the past couple of months that we've been together, that you've gained something from The Lion Show, that you've been able to share it with your friends, that you've been able to implement it in your business and really make it a part of your lives. But guys, just because today is the last day of The Lion Show, it doesn't mean that we're just going to go out quietly. That's not how we do it. It's called The Lion Show. So today we have a really, really special guest, and whenever this guy talks, people keep quiet and then they cheer and then they clap and then they say amen and they raise their hands up. That's how good this guy is at what he does. And if you don't know him, you're going to find out who he is on The Lion Show. And don't forget, we always have our conversations on the radio station and on Twitter. So you can find me at @labellion_SA, labellion_SA, or at Africa Biz Radio on Twitter, or you can live stream the whole show on www.africabusinessradio.com. Let me repeat that, www.africabusinessradio.com. I know some of you have been complaining about streaming problems, but just make sure that your Wi-Fi is working properly, that you're in an area with network. And if it's still not working, don't worry, because we always have podcasts after the show. So you can just download the podcast and listen to it over and over and over again. So we got you. Don't you worry. Let's go back into the song. And after the song, you'll get to know who this amazing person is in studio with me. Guys, that song, I know that this Amapiano thing is not for everybody, but that song, it hits the spot. This to me is Casper at his finest. So I'm really happy with the song, and I hope that it gets something like Song of the Year or something. It needs an award, because this song goes in. It's a December jam. So before the break, I was telling you that we have a really amazing guest in studio, and yo, he's such a great speaker. He's so good at making people feel like they're part of something. He's so good at communicating things. You actually learn when he speaks. And that's very rare. I feel like there's so many events out there where people speak and you're just like, what is this person saying? But this guy, I think he's got it on lock. And he's really young. We have to talk about how there's so much young talent in South Africa. But we'll talk about that after we introduce him. So this man, he's the founder of his own consulting agency called Ayeye Consulting. Also something I'm going to ask him about, why the name Ayeye. And he's a speaker extraordinaire. That's what I call him, because I don't want to say motivational. I don't want to say MC. He's all of it. He does all of it. And his name is Mr. Sibusiso Molimi. Hi, Sibu.
Hi, Lebo.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Listen to that sexy voice. Really, it's a good radio voice.
Ah, stop it, man.
So, tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Wow. So, I think the first word that comes to mind is I'm an opportunity maximizer.
Yeah.
So what that means? Now, Libo, stop.
Hey, this is hitting me too.
I'm an opportunity maximizer, and what that means is every opportunity that I get, I make the most out of it. For example, I received my first bursary when I was 9. I went to a school called St. Peter's Prep, because I go look shey, go somewhere to Land West. Mm-hmm. And I was given an opportunity and I made the most out of it. I got my second bursary when I was 15. I went to a school called St. Albans College in Pretoria. It's a college school, you know, college boys. You can hear, no?
I can hear. You got the schwaka brew.
Yeah, you know, brew.
It's the schwaka accent.
So, once again, I got an opportunity there to go to that school. I maximized, man. Every opportunity that I was given, I made the most out of it. Mm-hmm. There was an opportunity for me to get into debating. I did. I maximized. Opportunity for me to get into public speaking. I did. I maximized. Sports, I maximized. Academic, I maximized. And then I got my third bursary to the University of Pretoria. So from the age of 10 up until 25, I haven't had to pay for my fees. So every single opportunity that I get, I maximize. I'd say I'm a opportunity maximizer. I think that's one word that best describes who I am.
Okay, so at the age of 9, what did you know about opportunity maximizing?
What I knew was that I just got to grab every opportunity that I get and make the most out of it. So I went to a school called Lando.
Yes.
Called Didi Luayo. And then my mom knew the pastor went to school called, you know, their daughter went to another school.
Yes.
So when they gave me an opportunity, my parents just always used to tell me, make the most out of every opportunity you get. How yako skolo, tsama ulobala, and make the most out of it. There's a time to play and there's a time to work.
Yeah.
So when you go to school, go and work. And
okay.
I just think that's where it all started, you know. And when you're put in a certain environment, and you see what is happening around you, and you see the life that people are living, and you see what is there for you if you grab opportunities, you never want to go back to where you come from.
Yes.
So it's like, I've got to make use of this so I can progress and keep going forward. And when I was in that environment at St. Peter's, I was like, this is a totally different way. It's a totally different life. Like,
yeah.
These things that we see, the things that we dream about, now I'm seeing them real life, and I'm like, but I can get this if only I work hard.
So this... To me, everything you're saying, I would call it a success mindset. I know that sounds a bit cheesy, but if you're an opportunity maximizer,
yeah.
You're really opening up your potential to success. Who taught you how to think like this? Do you think people are born thinking like this, or someone has to teach you?
Remember, your thoughts are influenced by your senses.
Okay.
Your thoughts are influenced by your environment. If your thoughts are influenced by what you hear and what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see something, you think a particular way. When you think something or hear something, it triggers a certain thought, right?
Yeah.
So my thinking, my pattern of thinking was influenced by the environment that I was in. An environment where, you know, I'm competing with guys who, to them, 70% or 80% is like a fail. The competition is really high.
Yeah.
So you are in an environment where you're seeing people who do not take like a 70 as a success.
Yeah.
That then influences the way that I think. So when I get 70, I'm like, you know,
nah.
No, I'm going for number one. So it's a very competitive environment.
Yeah.
The way that I think is influenced by the books that I read,
mm-hmm.
the people that I spend time with,
yes.
what I listen to. So my phone, even if you look at my bag now, there's
yeah.
a book.
Yes.
When I say I'm on the road or I'm in the taxi, I'm on the train, that's my office on the road. So the books that I read, the stuff that I listen to, who I listen to,
mm-hmm.
The environment that I spend a lot of my time with, you know, the people that I hang around with.
I do.
And the conversations that we have, you
yes.
know, where you think, okay, yeah, you know, I think I'm doing well. And then someone says, nah, man,
nah.
This is mediocre. You've
yes.
got to step it up.
Yep.
So that's what influences my thinking pattern.
You know, guys, whenever we have guests in the studio, you know me, I tell the truth 100%. And I actually recently just met Sibusisa about, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And I can honestly attest to what he's saying. He actually means what he's saying. Ever since I met him and everyone else around him, I've had to push myself even more than I did. I thought I was doing well, and then I met them and I was like, actually, there are things I need to fix here.
Yeah.
So it's really good that he's talking about your environment and the people you surround yourself with and how important that is to your personal growth and your ability to maximize on opportunities.
For sure.
So since you've been telling us about how education has really helped you get out of different environments and get into better environments, let's talk about education in South Africa. What's your take on it? What do you think is happening in this country with education? How would you fix it?
So I've got a different perspective.
Yeah.
Education is derived from a Greek word called eduko, the origin of the word education.
Guys, we're in school. Listen.
And eduko means to draw from within.
Yes.
When we look at the word education.
Mm-hmm.
So many will know as education, then if you get a certain degree, then they'll say you are educated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who haven't, my view, my perspective, there are people who haven't gone to university, haven't gone to a certain degree, studied a certain course, haven't received the qualification, but my view, they are educated. Why? Because they've been able to draw from within.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is within, they've been able to draw from within and take out. But now it's difficult for you to draw from within if there's nothing within. So what that means is that you cannot give out what you don't have. So you've got to constantly fill like this cup inside of you with dreams, with knowledge, with information, with facts, with stats, with friends that will help you get closer to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Answering your question about education in South Africa, people go to school, they learn, they get marks. What I see many a times is people are going to school to memorize.
Yep.
And then after memorizing, they're not taught on how to apply that to what is happening right now in our country. If you look, they said the pass rate, I think, is at about 30-something percent.
Yep.
Really? at 30-something%. I think we need to step it up. We need to push it higher. You've got people now who are just settling for that 30%, and that's it. So I think there are many, many young people who are educated, haven't gone to school.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think just because you have gone to school, you are educated.
Bars. Please repeat that.
Don't think just because you have gone to school, you are educated. It's a long-term learning process. Each mm-hmm. and every single day, you're constantly learning about yourself. And, you know, I think it's a holistic view. It's a holistic process where it's difficult for us to educate these young people if the people whom are employed to educate them themselves are not growing.
Mm.
Them themselves are not being educated. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, leadership really just starts from the top in our schools, in our education system.
Yes.
There's been lots of talks about, do we bring entrepreneurship in? Where are we going?
Good question. Where are we going?
Where are we going? I would love to sit down with whoever is heading education to say, what's the vision of education in South Africa? And does that align with where we want to take our country?
Definitely. I think that's a very, very good question. I was on Twitter, and I think you follow him as well, Kandani Msibi.
Yeah, from 360.
Yes, and I mean, you know him. He's got powerful views, controversial. He's not there to please anybody. And one thing he said, he was saying, you know, guys, there's so many of you going to school. There's so many of you graduating. There's just so many people in South Africa. There are not enough jobs for all of us, even if we meet the criteria. He's like, most of us are going to have to try to be entrepreneurs. Most of us are going to have to open our own businesses or work for very small businesses. What's your take on what he's saying?
I agree with him.
Why?
The reason why I agree with him to a certain extent, right? Mm-hmm. There's been there's not enough jobs, and then we're gonna have to go out and create jobs as entrepreneurs and
mm-hmm.
But I keep on seeing so many posts all the time that are out there that are available and saying that the jobs are there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to train more of our young people to be skilled enough to be able to take up the positions that are open.
Where do we train them?
Well, that's why they've come up with initiatives like Yes for Youth.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
1 million, TIPO 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of those organizations? To bring in young people, upskill them, train them, so that when they get into these certain environments and they're applying for these jobs, they can grab them and make the most out of them. So let's turn our attention to a large focus on upskilling young people.
Okay.
Now we're saying that, yeah, but you know, there's not enough jobs, young people this, young people that. Many young people don't even have the foundation to even start their own business and their own company.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even write a proposal
as
a young person. Mm-hmm. And yes, they must go and create their own jobs. But if you don't have the foundation and can't put together the most basic, then you're in trouble. So I think let's go back to foundations.
Guys, you heard it from the man himself. He says, let's go back to foundation. Education is important, but it's not just in the classroom. It's from the people around you. It's from what you read. It's from literally every single stimulus in your environment. That is education. And the more you take from it, the more educated you become. But I think we've also diverted a bit because I asked you, what do you do? Who are you? And you said, I'm an opportunity seeker. But tell us, what is that in every day? You know, what do you do every day? Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah. So I live by a quote by Whitney M. Young that says, it is better to be prepared
mm-hmm.
and not have an opportunity than to have one and not be prepared. It is better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have an opportunity and not be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And many a times when the opportunity arises, you're not prepared. For example, you're an entrepreneur and you're saying, yeah, but I need funding, I need this, I need that. The opportunity comes to you, but you're not prepared for that opportunity.
Mm.
And what that quote says is always stay ready so that you don't have to get ready. So what I'm doing when I get up in the morning and I go to the office, wherever the office is, Starbucks, wherever it is, it's the beauty of being an entrepreneur, man. You work from wherever. Wake
from
up
wherever.
Anytime. Tap charge, you 9 to 5 people.
Your office is the world.
Let's go to Sasol.
Yes.
And what that means is I'm preparing for what I'm dreaming about.
Yeah.
For the opportunity that I would love to have, for the platforms that I would love to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm constantly researching.
Mm.
I'm constantly asking questions. I'm looking at what is trending, what are companies looking for.
Mm.
I'm staying prepared. So when the opportunity comes, I'm ready and I grab it and I make the most out of it. So that's what I do. And I teach, coach, train people who are aspiring public speakers, those who want to take their public speaking to a whole new level. Because both you and I can agree that a great idea that is poorly presented sounds like a poor idea.
The first time I heard you say that, it hit me. I was like, literally, the wind got knocked out of me. I was like, oh my God, that is so true. Because you sit through presentations and the idea is brilliant, yeah, but the person can't articulate what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
So you lose interest and you just don't want to hear what they have to say. To those people who are sitting there going, I've got this business, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of money, so we're going to allocate the spend to operations and logistics, whatever. Why should they also create a budget for services like yours?
Well, we've just said it, you know, because if you cannot articulate your idea, a great idea, package it and sell it, then you're in trouble.
But what if someone says, but I've created a really nice proposal, like on a graphic designer, so it doesn't matter what I say. I can just email and then they won't care if I was shaking when I was talking. Why is this skill so important?
Because each and every single day we're always selling.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to get up and present your idea somehow to someone.
Yes.
You know, even if you're just sitting next to someone in a taxi or in a train,
yeah,
you are selling.
Okay.
Right? And if you can't package your proposal or package your message, then yeah. But what you could do as well is I found out that many successful entrepreneurs have gotten the skill, the ability to delegate. So you know that, listen, my man, me spending so much time on public speaking, let me bring someone on board,
yes,
whose skill is the ability to sell, the ability to package, the ability to communicate. Bring them on board, give them a certain share of the business or have a certain agreement and let them go and do what they're best at and let me do what I'm best at. So it's not just you having to do every single thing in the company,
exactly,
but being strategic with your time to say, it's a skill, I know I'm not so good at it, can I outsource it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Looking long term. And then let me spend a lot of my time as Lebo focusing on what I am great at, and I'll bring Spoo into the company, and Spoo will go out and sell the product.
That's true.
It's partnership as well and collaboration.
True.
I hear many young aspiring entrepreneurs or people who've already started their businesses saying, but I don't have the money to outsource.
Exactly.
I don't have the money to go for a training session like yours.
Yes.
I don't have the money to do all of these things. So what do I do in that case?
Mm.
Lebo Gunguluza, when he started off his company, was looking for office space.
Yes.
He didn't have the money to go and rent an office.
Yeah.
So what he did was a barter deal.
Mm.
I will do your books for you if you allow me to use your office space. So you become creative,
yes,
and innovative as an entrepreneur to say, Spuda, listen, I'm doing graphic design and I also love to learn how to speak.
Yes.
So you come to Spoo and say, okay, but Spoo, I don't have the money to pay. And my fees are not cheap.
Yes.
But what we can do is, I can do all your artwork for the year. And all you do is you tell people about my business when you're on the platform.
True.
No one has taken out any cent. But we can come to an agreement to say, how do we work together?
Yeah.
A barter deal. So you always look at that. Yeah, but I don't have the money to do this. That label, I don't have the money. I don't have the money to go for it. I don't have... How do I use what I have to get what I want, and
yes,
both parties get value out of it?
True, true. I mean, you've raised a very good point, which is the power of creativity for entrepreneurs. You know, yes, you may not have the money, but use your creative juices to find a way to get what you want. I like that you said that. I also want to know, when did you know you had a gift for speaking? When did you know that this talent, it's worth something?
I don't know if it's still a gift. I just think I speak a lot and people just love the way that I speak. So I've been doing it now for, started in high school.
Yeah.
For the last 7 years, when I was 18 or 19, I realized that this is what I want to do.
How did you start in high school? Was it through debating?
Yeah,
or
high school,
speaking,
the public
or...
speaking. Okay. I just used to speak a lot.
Yeah.
And big ups to my mentor, Kulisa Ramashia, who positively pressured me to get into public speaking because I was
nice.
That guy.
Yeah.
That would speak a lot at the back.
Ah.
But now when it's time for me to go to the front, it is a mission.
Yes.
Ma'am Sathakis, I'm blessed to have had people who see something in me that I don't see in myself. You know, Dr. John Dibani, one of my big mentors who gave me the opportunity and believed in me. It's difficult for you to see the picture when you are in the frame.
Yes.
So you have people who say, no, but you're really good at this. Try this. But no, don't go and tell someone that they're a great singer and then just leave them there.
Exactly.
When you know, okay, they've got potentially, but I mean, then give them the resources.
Yeah.
Lead them, channel them into ways and into people that can help them take this talent to a new level. So when I was 18, and I've been at it for now 7 years, you know, constantly, consistently learning. I'm not where I want to be, but each and every single day is an opportunity for me to get better at my craft. That's why I identify the people who are doing it at the level that I want to do it at. Learn from them, humble myself, and keep on growing, but never lose myself in it.
Guys, you heard from the man himself. Did I not tell you that I had an amazing guest in studio? Some of you keep doubting me, but you know I always bring the big guns. I think it's time for a break. We've had a lot of gems being dropped on us. Wu's always good at that. He just drops gems. Then you don't know what to do with yourself. You need to gather yourself and write everything down. So I think we should take a young break. And after the break, we're going to have more conversations with Wu. Maybe we're going to go onto social media and talk about what's happening. A lot has been happening in SA, guys. I mean, it's literally 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the end of 2018, but it feels like the beginning because so many big things are happening. So after the break, we're going to be talking to Wu. We're going to go through social media. And until then, go grab a glass of water, get another notepad, because I know your notepad is full now, or your notes on your phone, and we'll be back after the song.
Art Means Business is a show that introduces you, our listener, to the topic of the creative economy in Africa. We explore the potential of the creative industry to provide new opportunities that will enable Africa to leapfrog into emerging high-growth areas of the world economy. Join us right here on Africa Business Radio, www.africabusinessradio.com. Africa Business Radio, towards a profitable Africa.
Welcome back to The Lion Show, and that was Maradona. I think it's by Niniola. I really, really love that song. It's got just the perfect combination of ratchet and I don't even know what, but it's December. So this is my other side coming out, guys. I know during the year I'm mysterious, but it's December. So we're going to have a good time. And that song is one of my good time songs. Before the break, we were talking to the amazing speaker and businessman Usibusiso Molimi, and you can find his handle on my Twitter page at @lebulion_sa. I've pinned our show onto my Twitter page, so if you want to find him, if you want to follow him, you just go on @lebulion_sa and you will find Sibusiso's handle. Before the break, we were talking about education, running your own business, how to be a self-starter. And these are all things that are encaptured in Sibusiso's story. He's only 25 years old, but he's achieved so much in his life. And I think that's something we really need to think about and really, you know, take acknowledgement of. The fact that success doesn't have an age, doesn't have a time. You can decide to be successful whenever you decide to put in the work and follow your dreams or do whatever it is that you need to do to get to where you want to go. So I really, really love that Sibusiso has been telling us this, and he's a living testament of that fact. At only 25 years old, he's achieved so much. So Wu, you were telling us about Ayeye Consulting and what it does. Why did you call it Ayeye Consulting?
That's a good question. So a couple of years ago, I think this was in 2013, I started a hashtag, Ayeye.
Yeah.
Ayeye means you are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just playing around with a couple of ideas, and my perspective was that was my message to the year and what was to come forth and the challenges, etc. My message to those challenges and to the year was you are in trouble because I'm going to take over. So I just started a hashtag, Ayeye 2013. Then it went to Ayeye 2014. And yes, then it was time for me to open up a business, and I was thinking of a name. I thought, okay, people already know Ayeye. Some people were even hashtagging it on their status. Wow. Saying Ayeye. So I thought, okay, cool, Ayeye it is.
Let me call it Ayeye.
Ayeye.
So as a young guy in business, I mean, it must be very intimidating because you're out here approaching corporates and they want a certain kind of person with certain amount of experience. How did you break through that barrier? What did you do so that they could listen to you?
I think it's just believing in yourself. And my friend said to me, firstly, people cannot order if they don't know what's on your menu.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is do not be afraid to tell people what's on your menu so they know what it is that they can order. And then you knock on doors and, yeah, but I need to go and speak to the CEO. And one of the mistakes that people make is they think for other people, right? And think, yeah, but just because they're a CEO, you know, maybe they think they know more than I do. And already you start having these fears. And what you've done is you've taken them because of their title, put them on a pedestal, made them feel superior, and you feel inferior. And that's why you're intimidated. And my perspective is that you're never too young to teach and you're never too old to learn. Go there, give it your best shot, and keep on knocking on those doors. So I say to the guys, if you really want to do it, there is something that I say in my talks, is that bumelo ushele iphupho lakho, which means you must charm your dream, you must shell out your popo. So I make an example where, like, for example, if you are a guy and you want a girl's number, you've got an idea, right? You've got a dream that eventually I want to marry Lebo. So what do? You go, you approach Lebo, right? And you ask for Lebo's number. It could be that Lebo says no, right? When Lebo says no, you do not give up. You always find a way to make sure that you get, it's either you go through the DM, you go through Facebook, you go through Instagram, you always find a way, or you speak to a friend. So I say the very same energy, the very same persistence, the very same stubbornness that you as a guy have when pursuing a girl, if you challenge that towards your dreams and your goals, trust me, you're gonna make it. It's only a matter of time. Because I mean, when they said no, when she said no, you didn't give up on your dreams. You always found another way. Mm-hmm. So just like when you're knocking on the door and you're trying to get a meeting, you don't go, ah, yeah, but they don't want to meet with me. You find a way. You DM. If you don't DM, you go and you knock on that door. If not, you go to an event where the person is that you want to meet with them. So you always find a way to get what you want. You're persistent and you'll really make it. So that's it with me.
Kumele ushele iphupho lakho.
Yeah. You must charm your dream.
You must charm your dream.
Yeah, as an entrepreneur. I mean, if you can charm and get a number and it was really difficult, why can't you do that with your dreams? You just want to give up after having knocked 3 or 4 times. But she said to no to you like 15 times and you never gave up. So you channel that energy, that stubbornness and the persistence towards your dreams and you go for it.
How do you deal with a no? How do you deal with disappointment? How do you deal with those feelings as a young entrepreneur?
Get back to the drawing board. Reflect. Spend time with yourself. What went well? First question. I think one of the mistakes that people make is to look firstly why it didn't go so well. Start with for the mere fact that you got a foot in, well done. At least they know what you're about and what you can offer. Good. Then get on to the second question. What could we improve on? Why didn't it work? And it's important for you to get feedback from the people who have said no to you, so that you don't make the same mistake again. So you walk into an interview and say, no, it's fine, your proposal, we're not sure. And then you go and then you suck and then you go on Twitter. Go back to the people who have said no to you and say, thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given me. Please could you give me advice, feedback on what to improve on, so that when you go and knock on another door, you don't make the very same mistakes that you made. And so you consult as well. Pick up the phone, call a friend, say, listen, man, that thing didn't go well. I'm feeling a bit down. How do I pick myself up? But most importantly, just keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize and keep going.
I think one thing that young entrepreneurs struggle with is knowing how to price their services, especially in a service business.
Yeah.
You're 25 years old. You're going to these big companies on the JSE and you're telling them that they should pay X amount for your service. How did you come to your amounts? How did you learn how to price your service?
I struggled with that. I remember when I was invited to speak and they said, so how much do you charge? Hey, that time now, I'm tatazeling there. I'm thinking, what? So I'm sitting with the past CEO of Prime Media, Mr. Kuben Pillay. Says, okay, great, we're going to speak to our CEOs. Quickly tell me. And they look at you. You see, they look at you straight in the face when they ask that question. So how much do you charge? All the other questions, they're looking the other way. So how much do you charge? And you can't be tatazeling because it then looks like you're not sure about what it is that you're offering. And I said, Mr. Play, I said, okay, cool. 5,000, cool, great. Yeah, that's it.
Just like that.
And if you don't know your value, then people will go and dictate what your value is for you. So what I did is I went back to the drawing board and I phoned my mentor and I said, I've been invited to come and speak. How much should I charge? And he said, Spoo, if you're going to charge a certain amount, you better make sure that you deliver service of that quality. You can't go and charge a Mercedes-Benz fee and then you go and deliver like a Corolla kind of service. You know what I'm saying? And there was no like way to go about it to say, yeah, because you've been in the industry for this long, this is how much you must charge. There is none of that. A friend of mine actually, Weza, did a podcast or a video the other day about charging. And I said, Weza, but how much do you charge? Like, I'm still battling with it. Even now, Lebo, to be honest, I'm still battling with it. But then if I charge maybe 30, I don't want to lose business. Is 30 a bit too high? But who am I to be charging 30? And so each and every single time, I consult with my mentors to say, okay, how much should I charge? how do I go about it? And then they're able to advise, they're able to give me insights on how to go about it. So I would say consult, ask people who have been in the business, speak to a couple of your friends to say, okay, cool, what do you think I should go for? That's how I go about it.
I think that's very fair advice, because I don't think anyone ever stops struggling with that how much do I charge question, you know?
Yeah.
Because you almost want to look at your client and go, I think my client can afford this, so maybe I should charge this. And when do you stop? And, you know, it's very, very complex. So I think that's very fair advice that you've given us.
My friend said to me, we must decide where you want to play.
Mm.
And if you decide that you're going to charge 2.5 for a consultation fee of public speaking, right? Be prepared to lose a lot of the 500s and say no to a lot of the 500s. Yes. Sometimes you want to pick up there, then you want to pick, then it becomes a thing of, oh, but guy, you charge them like 500. Now you're charging us like two. So decide where it is that you want to pay.
Yes.
And you know, the thing of value, and I was saying to myself, yeah, petrol prices are going up. Food prices are going up. Gas is going up. Pampers is going up. Alcohol is going up. Taxi is going up. But your prices are still the same.
Yes.
So when things are going up, you've also got to look at your price and go, I need to relook at my price. And go in there and, he said it's a feeling. And charge what you think your value at.
What would you define value as? I know that's a hard question. Because there's so many things that when we say value, I think people think price a lot. They think money. But how would you define value? What is value to you?
So value is, what is it that you're going to share with us that's going to move us from where we are to where we need to be?
Mm.
What are the strategies, the tools, the frameworks, the products that you're going to give to us that are going to make us more profitable? That's value. You're taking us from where we are to where we need to be.
Thank you. I love that answer, guys. You heard him. Value is taking us from where we are to where we want to be. I really love that. I think now it's time for us to take things easy a little bit and go onto social media and see what we can talk about on social media. So yesterday I published a young thread. It was a fun thread, and it was about a recent poll that Google released, and it shows the top 10 searches in the country over the past year on Google. So I'm going to read you those searches from 1 to 10. The first one is, how did Avicii die? 2 is, how old is Pharrell Williams? 3, what's Listeriosis? 4, what's Black Data? 5, how old is Prince Harry? 6, how much are Global Citizen tickets? 7, how to get pregnant? 8, what time is the royal wedding? 9, what happened to HHP? And 10, how old is Meghan Markle? Spoo, your thoughts on this. What do you think of this top 10? Google says this is the things that people were Googling for the whole year. This is the top 10 searched topics in South Africa.
Who was searching them? Because I did
South
not.
Africans.
No, that can't be us until it's proven.
Apparently,
who
was
searching? Oh, well,
how old is Avicii? How did Avicii die? How old is Pharrell Williams? What's Listeriosis? What's Black Data?
People who are looking for more information on these topics that have been searched, I don't think they got enough information. How did that? What happened to WHP? These questions. Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out who was researching them and why.
Right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, but what's Pharrell's age? Like, listen, guys, we have so many problems here in our country and land and stuff. And then we're wanting to find out how old Pharrell is. What's that? How's that going to help us?
So you know what happened, actually.
You see, Pharrell is the same age as the minister of... I saw that Ladies picture. Mandy. Yeah.
Yes, that's actually what actually made the search go crazy, is because someone said, actually, Pharrell's the same age as Bladen Zimande. People were like, no ways. They look completely different. So I think there's validity in that search, actually. I believe that South Africans of all ages and races actually Google that. What do you Google? What have you Googled? Your top 10 Googles for the year. What do you usually Google?
What do I Google? Wow, that's a very interesting question. So, I Googled... What was I Googling? I'm usually on, like, YouTube.
Mm.
And when I'm on YouTube, I'm looking for videos. TD Jakes.
Yeah.
Miles Monroe, Liz Brown. Or I'm listening to music.
Yeah.
what was I Googling? To be honest, I don't know.
It's something we don't think about, right?
Yeah, like to go on Google and search for, I haven't changed the exchange rate. I can't even remember. To be honest, I can't remember the last time like I was on Google.
Are you serious?
Searching for something, yeah.
So you're a YouTube
guy. Oh, then I'll probably go on and look at what the log of the league
is looking like, so of the PSL. Yes, sports.
Or if my dad wants the lotto numbers, then I'll go Google and search what were the lotto numbers for the day before. But otherwise,
very interesting.
I'm reading or
YouTubing. So you spoke about a few guys there. I know their names, TD Jakes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say this guy's not just a pastor, he's a motivational speaker, but they say it as a criticism, as a negative thing, not necessarily as, wow, this is such a great thing that he's doing. Would you consider yourself as a motivational speaker?
What is a motivational speaker?
You tell me. You watch TD Jakes. What do you gain from him?
Insight, wisdom, knowledge. This is a man who doesn't just speak about it. He lives it. So every single time he'll preach a sermon, he's authentic. He shares a story about when his daughter fell pregnant at a very young age, mm-hmm. and how he dealt with that. He talks about the stuff that he goes through, not just as a pastor, but as a businessman. And people say, yeah, I don't like these motivational speakers. Mm. They just come in, they give us a good feel, they charge this amount of money, and then they go home.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't like them. There's a tweet that came through the other day from a lady that said, hey, motivational speakers, when are you guys taking a break?
So yes, we can have, I saw that one.
So we can have December, peace December.
Yes.
We don't take a break. I just think, you know, you can take the horse to the river, but you can't force it to drink. You know, mm-hmm. And I just think as motivational speakers, many a times our role is just to give the knowledge, give the insight, and it's up to the audience to take it and make use of it. You can't force it upon people, you know. And the one people who are really authentic, and someone says, I'm a keynote speaker, I'm a business speaker, I'm a motivational speaker, I'm a transformational speaker, whatever speaker you are there just to share your insight and your views. And
so do you think that people are incorrect in their analysis of motivational speakers? Because you, like you said online, people are very negative about motivational speakers. People say, but you're going to tell me something, I'm going to feel good for 2 hours, then I'm going to go home, and then what? And then tomorrow, and then what? You know, so are motivational speakers really effective? Or are they just people who are there to talk on a stage and get people to get excited for a few minutes?
So motivational speakers, I will speak for the motivational speakers that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You are brought in. I say, look, I don't get paid to speak. I get paid to provide solutions and strategies to help people move from where they are to where they need to be, using speaking as a mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
right? So they'll bring in and say, but we've got who's a motivational speaker. Why am I invited there? Because those people are despondent. Those people are hopeless. Those people don't know what to do.
Yes.
And then I come in and I share with them strategies that can help them become more hopeful, move them from where they are to where they need to be.
Mm.
So, and someone says, yeah, but we've already read these things in the book. Who's inviting these motivational speakers and what are they invited for? We know what we're invited there to do.
What are you invited to do?
Exactly what I just shared with you.
And do you think it's effective?
It is effective.
Really?
We're getting testimonials.
Mm.
And you can see, when you get into an audience and you're speaking, usually the audience is then categorized. There are people who already know what you're going to tell them and they've shut out. And there are people who really, really, really like need this information to take their life to a whole new level.
Mm.
I keep on seeing, I can speak for myself and many of my friends who are close to me. We keep on getting messages and testimonials of people who are stuck, who didn't know what to do. And we shared with them these strategies. And hey, look at where they are now.
Yeah.
Daily, I can prove to you.
Okay.
It's working.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go, guys. Wu says, motivational speakers aren't just there to talk. They're there to change lives. If you sit and actually listen to what they say, you can use those tools to change your life. That's what you're saying.
I want someone to say, look, I went to a presentation and I was a motivational speaker. And he was saying stuff and saying stuff and saying stuff. And I implemented this in my life.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Yes.
I don't think these people are effective.
Yes.
Yeah, now then we can have a conversation.
Mm.
But you go, and I've read this, and I've read this. Motivational speaking, it's boring. If you're still broke, why you keep on inviting us? Because you still need us. If you don't need us, then don't invite us. You need us, you're going to invite us, and then you're going to pay us. Keep on saying that motivational speakers are like this. We're still coming. You're still going to invite us. We're still going to tell you, and you're still going to pay us. Come on, let's work together.
So, fine.
If it's not working, don't invite us back.
Fine. We hear what you're saying, Mr. Motivational Speaker. And I'm just also going to sprinkle some more chilies onto this conversation and ask you. Okay, so you say motivational speakers tend to share their life experiences so that they can help others, you know, not make the same mistakes. And it also helps that motivational speaker create the strategies that they give the audience that they could possibly implement in their lives.
Yeah.
So how do young people become motivational speakers when they haven't really been through as much as somebody who's 55 or 60?
How do you become a motivational speaker? You get up on this. They pretty much, look, I think many of us are, in our daily lives, we are motivational. We are inspirational.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be on a stage. But in your family, wherever you are at work, you're always offering advice, strategies, hope, etc. You're not on a stage. But now that you're on a stage and you're speaking to people, they say that now you are a motivational speaker. So many of us are just, we really are just motivational people, inspirational people, and people look up to us, and you yourself are motivational and inspiring.
Not at all.
Yes, you are.
That's never.
If that was not the case, you wouldn't have people DMing you and asking you for advice and saying, Lebo, my business is not going well. So they look up to you.
Yes.
There is something that you are doing that is helping you get the results that you're getting.
Mm.
And we want you to come in and share that with our audience and our people.
Okay.
On a stage.
Yes.
And now you are a motivational speaker.
Wow. So Spoo just tried to flip the script and said, but how can you diss motivational speakers when you're one yourself and all of us are motivational speakers?
You're constantly doing it, Lebo. There are people who are even doing it on just Twitter. It's just that they're not on the stage.
Yeah.
But you're telling me something that I already know.
Yeah.
I've read this already.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
But you just got up on the stage. It's just, yeah.
I mean, you're making a very valid point, because I always look at how my tweets do. And it will be that one tweet that talks about something. I'm like, but 100 million people have tweeted this.
Yeah.
But that's the one that will get 100 million tweets.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow. So people actually on the daily need to hear these messages.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about that.
There's many private battles that we're all facing. That message might not be for you at this moment. You know, but you could just take it and share it with someone who's going through something, you know, and different perspective, you know. Someone said, yeah, motivational speaker got up and said, we must believe in ourselves.
Mm.
I've heard this so many times. I mean, I believe in myself, but these things are not working. Come on, tell me something more. And so that's why it's important for a speaker, a motivational speaker.
Mm.
For example, I'll talk about me.
Mm.
When I'm invited to go and speak at a certain event,
mm.
I don't just rock up on stage and start to speak. I do a lot of research into the audience.
Yes.
What am I there to do? What is the problem that needs to be solved? What strategies do we need to implement to take this company or these people to a whole new level?
Yeah.
And you interact with the people that you're about to talk to so that you don't keep on telling them the things that have been said to them all the time. Bring in something new, something fresh, a new different perspective.
Mm.
That's why then it could be that this image around motivational speakers, because but this one spoke about this week, and this one is coming in, it's going to speak about it this week, and then these motivational speakers, they just keep on telling us that you must work hard and that you must not sleep and team no sleep and what, and you find that they haven't done their research. What are you there to do? What are you there to share? Do your research, find out exactly what it is that the people need, and share those strategies, and it's up to you.
I love that you said that, because there are quite a few people who've emailed me and sent me DMs, and they want to be motivational speakers or MCs. And the one thing that I've seen that they don't do is research.
Yeah.
So I love that you said that. And guys, if you're listening and you are one of those people who've emailed me or you've been tweeting at me about it, please remember, research. It comes from a speaker extraordinaire himself. He's actually making money from this. He actually has a real business that's doing something with this. Research is key. It gives you a competitive edge. I love that you said that.
Yeah. So, Jerry, my last point on motivational speaking.
Mm.
I found that many people have said, motivational speakers, what? Because many of them, from what I've heard, are not authentic.
Yes.
So it's, I'm going to come up and I'm going to share with you success, and we did this and we signed this. It's not just motivational speakers, it's people who are in business. We are working with these clients and we are doing this. But someone wants to say, come back and be in my shoes.
Mm.
Many people, motivational speakers, keynote speakers, transformational speakers, whatever speaker you want to call yourself, just be a speaker, my man. Make a difference and make your money, right?
Yeah.
Is to say, they tell people, but they don't teach people.
Mm.
Believe in yourself. I'm telling you to believe in yourself. But how, Spoo?
Mm.
When things are so tough.
Yes.
Business speaker, your brand is important. yes, I know. Yes, marketing is important. But and then how? Teach me on how do I create this brand?
Yes.
Okay, first step. Do you have a logo? What is it that you want to represent? So you play a facilitation role where many of the people have really got the answers. You know what you've got to do, Lebo.
Yeah.
You know what you've got to do in order to get to the next level.
Definitely.
So I come in and I ask you those questions that will trigger and get those answers out of you. So it's just important that you do that.
I love that. That message of being authentic.
Be authentic. You were once in my shoes. You know, yes. Things are not going well. Yes. And it's relationships. And I don't know what to do. And I'm bankrupt. And, you tell people, okay, look after your money.
Yes. Authenticity is key.
Just be real.
It's key. It's literally the only way you stand out. Just by being yourself. By being authentic. And on that note of motivation, we just heard that Kanye Dlomo is shutting down Dialo Media. And people are going crazy on Twitter. Like, some people are acting like it's a funeral. You know, they're basically saying RIP Kanye Dlomo. I don't get it. And some people are going on and on about the mistakes that she made. What's your take on this Dialo Media thing? Because what I'm finding very irritating is that people are giving unsolicited advice to Kanye Dlomo. They're almost speaking to her as if now that she's failed, she's one of them, and so therefore they can teach her how to run business. How do you see this Dialo Media thing?
For me to give a full review,
yeah,
and a full opinion on the Dialo Media, to be honest, I haven't gone and searched and really found out what the story is. I've just seen a tweet. You see, that's the other thing about tweets.
And thank you.
You just see one headline story and then you start to draw an assumption and an opinion, and it failed because of this and it failed because of that.
Yes.
So I would love for the media to interview the people who are in the team.
Yes.
To find out what really went wrong.
Yes.
Sit down with Sis Kanye Dlomo and say, what really went wrong?
Mm.
Are you shutting down the business because it failed, or are you shutting down the business because you've seen another opportunity? Business is very interesting. She shuts this one down because she's seen there's another opportunity, and this car is no more moving, but I've seen another opportunity. Then boom, 3 months down the line, she opens up another business. Yeah. So with this story, I think we need to get the full facts.
There's
opinions, there's assumptions. Mm. Yeah, but social media, destiny, what, I'm going to keep my comment to myself until I've heard from the people in the team what went wrong, and then I'll give a review.
Thank you. I love that, because people are always having me, and you know who you are, having me for making that statement. I say, but you can't make assumptions about anybody's failure, anybody's business, without being in the business, without talking to that person. How could you possibly know what is going on? And on that note, actually, I wanted to have a conversation about failure and our attitude towards failure, you know, because I haven't enjoyed the way that people have interpreted what has happened in Dialo Media. They've kind of made it seem like, oh, failure is a bad thing. You guys don't take entrepreneurship seriously. You should know better. Let's talk about failure.
Yeah, so from the recent tweets and other tweets that I've seen, you know, the business, has it failed? But the sales, okay, but Dialo Media was a failure. You know, that's what people are saying.
Mm.
You start something, you later find out that what it is that you've just started hasn't managed to keep up, and there are external things that could have happened.
Mm.
And we're having a conversation earlier about, we don't know internally what was happening.
Exactly.
And what is the root cause of Dialo Media now closing? And people say, yeah, but Dialo Media failed.
Yeah.
Your definition of failure and my definition of failure is not the same.
Thank you. Can you please repeat that?
Your definition of failure and my definition of failure is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will say failure is starting something, and then if it's not working, then you have failed.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone else will say failure is when you actually stop trying and stop going after your goals. And someone will say, but you have failed the day you stop going after you really, really want. Yes, you may start something, start the business, and this business doesn't work and it closes down, but you're still going.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you have failed. And the fact that you have failed doesn't mean that you're a failure. I know that Sis Kanye Dlomo was going to bounce back. I mean, she was building something huge, a huge empire.
Mm-hmm.
There are powerful lessons that I think she's learned, the whole team has learned. And the next venture that she's going to open is going to blow people's minds away. So you start something, and it's important that when you start something and it doesn't work, you go back to the drawing board and you ask yourself critical questions. What made it work? Why didn't it work? And what's the next step going forward?
I wish The whole of Twitter could hear what you just said, because I think we really need to adopt that mindset.
Let's look at the success stories of Destiny.
Yes.
And all the other magazines and other entrepreneurs that got links and more business as a result of Destiny Man.
Thank you.
Or Destiny Woman. And let them come out and say, let's get Destiny trending, to say, my business has done this because, Sislomo, you gave me an opportunity, you gave me a platform to tell people about my business. Mm. As a result of that, I got more clients. So it's an opportunity for us to say, hey, people are saying, yeah, Kanye Lomo, yes, Destiny's gone down. Those entrepreneurs who got the opportunity and got the platform, don't just be quiet now.
Mm.
Come out and say, you know what? Thank you so much for having given me this opportunity. And if there's a way in which I could assist, I'm here to assist. So we need to pull together as a team, as entrepreneurs, and say, you know, together everyone achieves more. It's teamwork. But I don't know that this is Kanye Lomo's going to bounce back. You know, because they say a setback is a setup for a comeback. She's looking at Twitter and I'm sure she's laughing. She's like, hey, these people don't know me. Eh? These people really, really don't know me. But I'm going to bounce back and I'm going to create something that's more and more powerful. Sit back, look at the lesson. What went right? What do we need to work on? What do we need to improve on? And what's the next step? We keep on moving. You fall 7 times, you get back and you keep on moving.
Spoo, I could talk to you for 5 hours. Like, literally, we are running. We practically run out of time. And I'm so sad. Seriously. I feel like we just started talking. And I'm sure all the listeners feel exactly the same way. So because we have to close the show, unfortunately, our last show for 2018... What's your message to the listeners? What do you want them to take into 2019?
Yo, 2019. You know, they keep saying, and you know, we're going to be going to church.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, man. I'm a born again. I love Jesus. I love God, you know, and our pastor is going to be preaching. And sorry, he's already started preaching the message. 2019 is your year.
Yeah.
But this message was preached in 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, and still nothing has changed.
Yes.
Nebu, I want to be authentic. The reason why I'm not where I want to be in terms of my business, I'm not where I want to be in terms of my finances, is because I've been double-minded.
Mm.
There is nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. A person who is double-minded will always be unstable in his ways. You've got to choose. And I just want to ask the listeners one question. For the next 15 days of 2018, this is one question that you must keep on asking yourself and authentically answer this question. And the question is, what are you willing to give up to get to the next level? What are you willing to give up to get to the next level? There is something that you need to give up. Something. You know that barrier. We all know. We sit there and we go, yeah, you know, this must be my year. You know, 2018 is my year. But, you know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. You wake up at the same time. You hang around the same people. You do the same things. Oh, and you want different results in 2019. And I've learned that in order for me to get to the next level in my life and in my business and in my finances, there is something that I need to give up. So what are you willing to give up in order to get to the next level? What are you willing to give up in order to make sure that 2019 is your year? Spend time with yourself. Make that decision. Don't be double-minded. Make a decision. You might have to give up your relationship because it's taking you back.
Hmm.
You might have to give up social media because it's taking you back on your productivity.
Hmm.
You're going to have to let go
of
certain things in order to move to the next level. So it's a time for us to reflect, reset, and get back to the drawing board. And come 2019, you know, we're not just speaking about change, but people are able to see it. And when you change and when you invest in you, you see it in your business and in your bank account. So what are you willing to give up?
You heard it from the man himself, Mr. Sibusiso Molimi, saying you don't have to make goals for 2019. You just have to ask yourself, what are you willing to give up to get to the next level? That's an incredibly intimidating question, I know, for me, because I just have to think to myself, do I really want to give anything up? Why can't I have it all? You know, why do I have to give things up to get what I want? But it's true, you really do have to sacrifice one thing to get another. You're just one person. You can't carry everything. You also have limited capacity. So I really love that message from Mr. Sibusiso. Why am I calling you Mr.? Sibusiso Molimi, thank you so much for joining us on the Lion Show.
Thank you.
I mean, the bars, bruh. The bars. I could tweet for, I'm sure, a whole week with the things that you've said on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I hope that 2019 is even more successful for you than 2018 has been.
Thank you.
Guys, if you want to catch more of The Lion Show and all our other shows from 2018, all you have to do is go to www.africabusinessradio.com. www.africabusinessradio.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at @LebuLion_SA or at @AfriBizRadio. Until 2019, I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Rhodes, Cape Town, all of you. I love you guys. I know you're there. Thank you for your emails and everything. Thank you to my Twitter fam, everybody who's been supporting us. And we'll see you next year, alive, thriving, ready to start strong. I love you all. And until 2019, goodbye.
Africa Business Radio is now available on Google Play Store and Apple App Store. Take us everywhere. Download the app for easy access to our informative content. Africa Business Radio, towards a profitable Africa.